But along with teaching the Word of God, I'm a painter. So I thought some of the kids would like to see some of the artwork that I do. So, that's a nice reaction. Thank you. So this is about a mile from my house. There's 10,000 lakes in Minnesota, and there's a bunch of waterfalls. So I go outside and paint. I don't paint from a picture or a photo. I do it all on location. So it's really fun to do. But then you say, well, half of your life is in winter. What do you do then? Well, I go to the same place and I paint it when it's frozen. If you've never seen a frozen waterfall, they're really special. But that's what I enjoy doing out in God's creation. But what I really enjoy doing is telling you what God has told us in His Word. And so this week, we're going to be looking in the book of Colossians. Now, that's a picture of the city of Colossae. And that's where this letter was written to. And what you're seeing there are the ruins of that city as they look today. Many different cultures kind of have lived there, the Greeks, the Romans. But this is going back quite a few years ago when this all happened. But the one thing you need to know about the city of Colossae is that it was an important meeting point between the East and the West. And so a trade route would come through there, and it brought all different kinds of people. It was sort of what you would call a culture clash. All different kinds of people lived there. With that brought all different kinds of thinking and teaching and religions. And so what had happened as the time of this writing is that some teachers had come into the city of Colossae, into the church there, and they were saying, Christ is good, but He's not everything. You need something else. And these people have become known as the Gnostics. Now, a Gnostic has the idea of knowledge. They know more than others. They even said they knew more than the apostles. The problem is, everything we need to know is in the Bible. And so they thought they had more knowledge than the apostles. In fact, they went to some extremes. One thing was to deny themselves things we all enjoy. And they say, don't taste this, don't touch that. You know, if we live a life that's separate from all these things, then we're going to be better in front of God. They also went back to the Old Testament and started following the ceremonial law for the nation of Israel, missing out what Christ had accomplished on the cross. They went as far as worshiping angels, in fact. All of this they thought was bringing them closer to God. And then they also brought in philosophies of men. And they put those ideas of man right up there with the ideas in Scripture. And so everything you see that they were bringing was about what you do to be more spiritual. So Paul is writing them a letter. And Paul is not in the city of Colossae. He's in the city of Rome, 1,300 miles away. He's in a prison in Rome, and he hears about this false teaching going on in the church in Colossae, which, by the way, is in the area of Turkey, where we know Turkey today. But he tells them, no, you don't need anything else but Christ. Christ is sufficient. We don't need to add anything to Him. So Paul talks about them. He talks about his friends. He talks about the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we see here is a portrait of the early church. What do I mean? This is what church looked like 2,000 years ago. And there's a lot of things for us to learn. And I just want to show you six quick things just to introduce what Colossians is about. The first thing we see is that the early church was known for love. Love. Let me read you a verse from Colossians 1, verse 4. Paul says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ and of your love for all the saints." They loved each other. That was a characteristic of the early church. He says, your love in the Spirit. We've heard of your love in the Spirit. Your hearts are knit together in love. Then he talks about some of their friends. At the end of the book, he says there's a man named Tychicus. That's just a fun name to say. Everybody say it with me. Tychicus. Now you won't forget that name. Tychicus. And he's called a beloved brother. He's loved, and he's loved as a brother. They were all known as brothers and sisters. There's another man by the name of Onesimus, and he was somebody that had quite a past. He was a slave who ran away from his owner, but Paul met him, and he got saved, and now he's back in the church, and Paul says, he's your beloved brother, despite what he had done in the past. What a change when we're saved. So there's all this expression of love. The second thing we see in the book of Colossians is unity, how they're all one together. And it says in Colossians 3:15 these words, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The church is one body, one together. In fact, he calls some of those same individuals we spoke of in this same idea. Onesimus, that slave who ran away, who's back now with them in their meeting, he says, he's one of you. Well, he was a criminal. He ran away and he stole from his owner. Paul says he's one of you. Something had changed in his life. The same thing that happens to all of us. And we are together as one. And then another friend of theirs, this is the one who really shared the gospel with them, one of the leaders in their meeting, his name is Epaphras, and he says, he's one of you. Pay attention to him. In fact, here's what it says about Epaphras. It says, for I bear him witness. He says, I'm telling the truth. He has a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Not Minneapolis, where I live, Hierapolis. And what that is one of the cities that's near the city of Colossae. And this is interesting. When you study a map in the Bible, those cities are about 10 miles apart. But those three different assemblies, those three different churches, cared for one another, and Paul shows they had a passion for each other. That's that unity we see that the Lord desires. We saw it in the early church. The third thing the church was known for was fellowship. Working together, teamwork. And so he says there, of our friend Tychicus, say his name again, Tychicus, we got it. He says he's a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. And he will tell you all the news about me. He's going to come tell you how I'm doing back in Rome in prison. But he's a fellow servant. Paul couldn't do his work alone. None of us can do our work alone. We need each other. And so he talks about all his friends. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. One who also was in suffering for doing the work of the Lord. And he says, these are my fellow workers. So they're known for fellowship. The fourth thing, the early church was known for prayer. And Paul says this in chapter 1. He says, we're praying always for you. What a good thing to hear that we're praying for you. You know, my chapel back in Minneapolis has been praying for you guys for a month. Praying for you and for these meetings. That we would learn together about the Lord Jesus, that we would trust him more. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you would trust him this weekend. Amen. They've been praying for you that way. But then he says, we don't cease to pray for you. We're continually praying. And then he tells them, this church, continue earnestly in prayer. You guys pray. And he says, pray for us. Because Paul's going out with the gospel. Even though he's in prison, he could share the gospel as people came to visit him. So we pray for each other. It's mutual prayer. That's fellowship. And then he says this of Epaphras again, our friend who's in their meeting. He says he's always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Is that someone in your meeting who's always praying for you? That's what God desires for each of us. So prayer was important. The fifth thing is that the early church was known for the Word of God. And that's Paul's goal. To fulfill the word of God, to bring it to the people, to bring it to us. And so he says this in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. One of the best ways to let it dwell in you is to learn it and memorize it. I know a lot of you young kids have memorized a lot of scripture. I was in Bible camp when I was your age, and I memorized a lot of scripture. It's still in my head today. I've forgotten a lot of other things, but I didn't forget that. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And look how he says it now in verse 16. He said, when this epistle, meaning this letter to the Colossians, is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. When you're done reading this letter, a real letter went from Paul in Rome to Colossae. They read it to the meeting. He says, make sure you pass that to the other church, the Laodiceans, and have them read it, and then they're going to have a letter, and you read that. So this importance of the Word of God. Now, we don't have to pass a letter. We put it all together. It's been all put together in the Scriptures. And so we have these letters, the Word of God. But then the sixth thing the early church was known for was grace. Do you know, this is such an important word of Paul. In fact, I made a chart of this. Paul wrote 13 letters. And every one of his 13 letters begins with an introduction of grace. And every one of his 13 letters ends with a closing of grace. This was foundational. What God has done for us, the undeserved kindness of God shown to us. So he says, grace to you in the beginning. He says, grace be with you at the end. And then he says, singing with grace in your hearts. I heard that tonight. This is going to be a great weekend for singing, I can tell. Singing praise to the Lord. Singing with grace because of what he's done for us. And then he says this to all the individuals, let your speech always be with grace. Have beautiful words that you share with the other believers. And as you tell the gospel to those who don't know the Lord, use grace in your speech and tell the wonderful grace of Jesus. So that's a portrait of the early church. They were known for love, unity, fellowship, prayer, the Word of God, and grace. So my question for us this weekend, how can we be known for this? How can you in your local fellowship be known for these things? And there's only one answer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the summary of all of these things. He's the one who showed us love. He's the one who brought us together in one body. We are in fellowship with him, with God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in communication. It's the word of Christ and it's the grace he's shown to us. And so it says in Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Paul's saying, you don't need all these other things. You need Christ. He's everything you need. But you know what? I haven't even introduced my subject. You have to come back tomorrow morning to hear that. All right, let's pray and give thanks for the refreshments. Our Father, we just thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's gathered and for those that are still traveling. Give them protection on their travel. Give us good rest tonight and a good day this tomorrow and through the weekend. We just ask your blessing upon the children's meetings, upon all the times together in prayer and the meals we have and our times in the Word. We thank you for the fellowship we have together. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here, and we pray that we would be edified by the Word this weekend. And we would exalt and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you for this time of refreshment now that we're going to have. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.